Good afternoon, 4:30 and 87 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
I just sort of stood there and watched for a minute, and the first one on the scene was a deputy sheriff, and he said, Larry, he said, you're going to have to get out of here, so I don't know what we got in the way of them tanker cars.
Some anxious moments in Falmouth, Kentucky today when a train carrying hazardous materials derailed. Larry Ritter lives there and saw the accident.
Moorhead State University's president tells faculty and staff today to focus on helping students succeed in the new academic year.
And it looks like it'll be a pretty competitive election for city council in Moorhead this fall.
In sports, the Reds play the rubber match of their series with St. Louis tonight.
Bud Blue cast the stocks.
Isolated thunderstorms possible this evening with lows in the 70s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A CSX train derailed in Pendleton County today, forcing the evacuation of an elementary school and an advisory to residents of Falmouth to shelter in place. Officials say more than 20 cars left the tracks, and at least one of them was said to contain sulfuric acid. However, Pendleton Sheriff Craig Peeples says there have been no reports of injuries, and none of the cars seem to be leaking. He spoke with WCPO.
No apparent leaks that I'm aware of. I came through the affected area and not aware of any leaks, but that once they start moving on those that steel and those tankers, hazmat will get in there with their equipment and check for any leaks, and if there's no leaks, then some of the restriction will be lessened.
Kentucky's Energy and Environment Cabinet has sent a response team to the site in downtown Falmouth. The derailment happened about 11 o'clock this morning and severed electrical power to the city. There's been no word from CSX on what caused the accident. The company says the train was traveling from Cincinnati to Atlanta.
About 2,100 people live in the city of Falmouth. One of them is Larry Ritter. He says he saw the accident.
And I noticed it got exceptionally loud, and when I looked up, the cars were sort of fishtailing like they were car or truck went on a wet road. The back end, where they were just sort of fishtailing back and forth, they started rocking from side to side, and I said, uh-oh, these things are going to, something bad is going to happen here. About that time, sparks started flying off of the, the wheels that actually got off the rail.
Some streets in Falmouth have reopened following the accident. A massive cleanup is underway.
With student success as the central theme, Moorhead State President Wayne Andrews addressed faculty and staff today during the university's fall convocation. Andrews told the group that it must be fully engaged with MSU students to help them succeed, while the school must develop programs that meet their changing needs and those of their potential employers. He admitted that'll be tough in the face of declining state support and fewer students coming from Moorhead State's 22-county service region because of its drop in population.
There's no question that we have challenging times, and we're going to continue to be challenged in higher education. But I think how we respond to that is hugely important. Student success is not what we do, it's who we are. And if we approach it that way, it'll make a very big difference.
Andrews also said it's critical that Moorhead State work to differentiate itself from its competitors and utilize its students to tell the university's story to the public.
Former Kentucky Education Commissioner Terry Holliday says states that fund education using an integrated strategy will do a better job accomplishing their goals. Holliday spoke Tuesday in Chicago at a forum on building a world-class education system. He was addressing the National Conference of State Legislatures. Holliday says lawmakers should not fund primary and secondary schools, higher education, and job training programs as distinct entities that exist apart from each other.
You cannot separate out higher ed budget, K-12 budget, Perkins budget, workforce investment, PAC budget. You can't separate out all those things. You've got to come together with some strategic outlook.
Holliday says business leaders and state legislators have grown weary of new education reform initiatives. He says they want coordination of education and training efforts that produce a workforce with better skills and reduce income equality.
A school district in Kentucky is preparing to spend $1.8 million in the next 4 years to replace textbooks with Google Chromebooks for each of its students. Bullitt County School Superintendent Keith Davis says they hope to transition to using free online teaching materials.
This year, we're expecting to spend about $290,000 on the Chromebook rollout for the freshmen, sophomores, and juniors who are getting them. We couldn't afford to do the seniors because the lease cost was, it was just cost prohibitive. And then next year, we'll go with 6th grade, 9th grade, and we'll phase it in until we have 6 through 12. That leaves, of course, K through 5 without, you know, one-to-one, but they'll have classroom sets, and they already do most of them.
Davis says students will be required to pay $35 to cover the insurance costs for the device. He says they chose the Chromebooks over alternatives because of their relatively inexpensive price, along with their ability to perform as well as a laptop.
The Morehead City Council has reached a resolution with a group of Fraley Drive residents about the location of a disputed commercial building at the end of their street. The residents had said the building violated a residential zoning code. Citing a recent survey, the city claimed it didn't, since it sits outside the town's boundaries. At Monday night's city council meeting, the survey was reviewed with some of those who live on Fraley Drive, and it was determined the building is an inch and a half outside city limits. Former Rowan Circuit Judge Bill Maines lives on the street and was one of those who'd questioned the building's exact location. At this point, Maines says the issue has been settled.
Unless we come up with some information otherwise, I think we're going to accept Mr. Newton. I mean, he's a perfectly good surveyor. He's, you know, licensed. I'm aware that he's, you know, as far as I know, he's always done good work, and so I'm not really going to challenge that at this point in time unless, you know, something else comes up that we're unaware of at this point.
The Kentucky Attorney General's office last month found Morehead guilty of violating the state's open records law by not providing the Fraley Drive residents with some official documents regarding the disputed building.
This fall's election for Morehead City Council appears to be one of the most competitive in many years, according to the Kentucky Secretary of State's website. 10 persons have filed to run for 6 seats on the panel. One of the contenders, Leslie Tackett of Triplett Street, is running as a write-in candidate. Incumbents Carolyn Franzini, Glenn Teeger, Beth Ousley, and Jan Bishop are seeking re-election. Veteran Councilman Bruce Adkins is not running for another term. Former Councilman Tom Carew is trying to win back the seat from which he resigned earlier this year. Another ex-councilman, Bill Patrick, replaced Carew and will not be on the November ballot. The other candidates are Mickey Reffitt of Stonebrook Drive, Michael Cash of Cecil Drive, Peg Jones of Burchett Boulevard, and Joshua Riley of Alumni Tower at Morehead State.
The annual Experience Morehead comes to the Morehead State University campus on Friday. The event is designed to inform MSU's new students about local businesses and offers those businesses a show to showcase what they have to offer to potential new customers. Tracy Williams is the executive director of the Morehead-Rowan County Chamber of Commerce. Williams says Experience Morehead is being held in conjunction with MSU's Student Organization Fair.
Morehead State is wonderful to promote the community and the community to promote Morehead State. We are all one and work together very well.
Experience Morehead starts at 6:30 p.m. on the lawn next to Morehead State's Adrian Dorn University Center.
A Denver-based company begins drilling soon on another well in eastern Kentucky that could signal the start of the next energy boom, so says the director of the Lawrence County, Ohio Chamber of Commerce. Bill Dingus says Cimarex Energy is moving equipment into Louisa to start work on another well in the Rogersville Shale gas formation. Dingus says it's believed to run from Paintsville, Kentucky, to Winfield, West Virginia. He says Cimarex has already spent millions of dollars on its first deep well, and the results look promising.
When you come back and drill your second well, you invest $8 million on your second well. I think what it is saying loud and clear is we sit in the middle of another oil and gas boom in the country when the price comes back.
Dingus says if there is a shale gas boom on the horizon, it could be a big economic boost to a part of the country that truly needs it.
Carter County State Senator Robin Webb says landfill owners in the Commonwealth should be more vigilant about safety and the kinds of materials that are being dumped at their sites. The Democrat cites low-level radioactive wastes from West Virginia that were illegally disposed of recently in Estill County as the latest example. Webb says refuse taken to a Kentucky landfill should be checked against the hauler's manifest and scanned to verify the accuracy of the list. She says as fracking for natural gas intensifies, so does the need for better monitoring of the resulting wastes.
I think Kentucky needs to be aware and diligent with some of the waste coming in from fracking, and we've got a work group working on that. I've been very vocal on that issue for the past few years of taking other people's waste within our borders without knowing or having regulations in place to ensure the safety of our land and our people.
Webb says enforcement of existing laws can be a problem. She says state government should encourage landfill operators to invest in the latest equipment to protect their employees and their property.
Contractors began work today on more than $300,000 in street and sidewalk improvements in downtown Flatwoods. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says the project includes paving and sidewalk ramps along 2.5 miles of Kentucky 750 from U.S. 23 to Seton Avenue. The work is being done by Mountain Enterprises Incorporated. Blair says the sidewalk upgrade started today and paving is scheduled for August the 22nd.
Flemingsburg Mayor Martin Voyer says officials plan to hire the city's next police chief by late this fall. They're searching for a replacement for Randy Sargent, who recently announced he'll retire on December 31st after 30 years with the department. According to Voyers, they want to hire a veteran police officer who also has extensive supervisory experience.
Thinking that we may get someone that has retired from their career as a law enforcement officer and wants to come back and work in retirement in a position like this, so... You know, we're reaching out. We've got our advertisement out with the Chiefs Association. We've got it out with some national law enforcement agencies. So we've tried to cast a wide net.
Flemingsburg is taking applications for its soon-to-be-vacant police chief's job through the end of this month. Turning now to look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of isolated thunderstorms, and lows around 72 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, a 50% chance of rain, with highs in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of thunderstorms and lows in the lower 70s again. On Friday, at the end of our work week, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of thunderstorms and highs around 88. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of rain and lows around 72. And on Saturday, thunderstorms likely, that chance of rain is 70%, with highs in the mid-80s. It's currently sitting at 91 degrees in Ashland, 87 right now in Flemingsburg, 90 in Inez, 89 in Lexington, 88 in Winchester, and 87 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:44, it is good to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, Moorhead's Main Street is boasting new pavement, parallel parking spots, and a straight shot through town, all in response to longtime complaints from city residents. MSPR's Arlo Barnett visited the new thoroughfare and talked to people there, asking them what they think.
I love it. I have lived here all my life, and I have seen the road straight, and I have seen the road with a curve. And I think it's awesome to be able to turn onto Main Street and be able to see all the way down. I think it's hilarious to watch people parallel park because they haven't had to in I don't know how long. And I love the blue and gold squares.
That's Sunshine Stamper, and the squares she's referring to are now speckling the crosswalks at Main Street and Batson Oaks Drive with MSU's signature colors. It's intended to help pedestrian visibility, and she's not the only one who sees benefits for foot traffic. Emmanuel thinks college students will flock there.
For them to drive to, or for them to actually encourage them to walk and look at it. And I saw some people here with their daughter taking a picture because it looked amazing. So yeah, it's really good job for them to do it, and I was last night with them. It looked amazing.
But not everyone thinks it looks amazing. Leighton Kelly and Cheyenne White tell me they miss the trees, and changing the road wasted money.
I know previously that it was straight, and that they used a bunch of money to fix it, make it curvy, look more presentable. But with that, they did waste a lot of money just going right back to straight again. And I did really like the curvy roads anyway.
It gives our town a little bit of definition.
Yeah, it was pretty. And it had trees.
Almost everyone I talked to mentioned missing those plants, and the city does intend to replace them once conditions are better for transplanting. Aside from aesthetics, though, most people think the practicality of the road has been improved.
I like straight road. I drive a truck. It was really annoying to have the curvy road because it was really small and the parking was diagonally. I felt like I was just in the middle of the road the whole time. There was like so many times where I was backing out, hoping. Because sometimes you straight up couldn't see, depending on who parked by you. I think it's much safer.
Nona Camule disagrees. She thinks the straight road will make people drive faster.
I thought the curved road slowed down traffic. I thought the curved road with the trees and the plantings gave our main street a quaint look. And we looked different from every other little main street in eastern Kentucky.
Tony Hobbs doesn't think speeding will be a problem.
I know there's been some concern that if the street is straight, that people will drive very fast. But I think, you know, maybe give people a little more credit than that.
And then there's the parallel parking. It increased the total number of spots by a few, and Kim Lambert sees other benefits.
I like having there's more spots right in front of each business. We can park up front and not have to cross the street to go to the deck, and the Squallies has some out front. Everybody has a few out front.
But if you ask Jennifer Nickel,
I don't like the parallel parking. It's a little intimidating when you're not comfortable doing that, but I think overall it was a smarter decision.
Like me, Jenny Bolt is torn.
I actually kind of like their little swervy place up and down and all the trees and plants, so this is different, and it's taking a lot for me to get used to it.
And this is ultimately the job of everyone in town, getting used to a change that affects our daily lives. Ashley Gillum welcomes it.
You know, with any change, there's going to be an adjustment period. And so even, you know, when I was driving on Main Street this morning, I was just like, ooh, there's new blind spots that I'm just going to have to get used to. But once I get used to them, it'll be fine. I'm just not used to looking at these spots. Beforehand, you know, trying to back out on Main Street, it wasn't always a sure thing, so I could see how some people were not okay with it. I ended up using the storefront windows to figure out if a car was coming.
That's a relatable story for most Moreheadians and highlights the primary concern of straightening the street, safety. Most people seem to think it's helped, and the rest of us just have some adjusting to do. For MSPR, I'm Arlo Barnett.
4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All things considered from NPR at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the 24th annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, September 9th through 17th at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds off US 60 East in Moorhead. More than 40 bands featuring the Lonesome River Band, Dave Evans, Larry Cordle, Spiny Brothers, John Anderson, Russell Moore, and Third Time Out. Camping, ATV trails, daily and weekend passes available. Tickets at 606-784-2277 and online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds face the St. Louis Cardinals tonight at 7:15 in the rubber game of their three-game series at Busch Stadium. Behind Billy Hamilton's two hits, three steals, and three runs scored, the Reds beat the Cardinals last night 7-4. Rossiel Iglesias came in to pitch a perfect ninth inning to earn his first career save for skipper Brian Price's club.
for a kid like Rysel, who was a starter last year at the beginning of this year, to come in and, you know, I think virtually every game he's pitched in has been a game that we're either winning or had a chance, felt like we had a really good chance to win, and he's stepped it up. And I think we're looking at a role that could be very comfortable for him and something that we'll have to weigh moving forward, you know, between starter and reliever.
6-0 Anthony DeSclafani will pitch tonight for the Reds. The Cardinals will counter with lefty Jaime Garcia, who's 8-8 so far this season. The Morehead State football team has some hoes to fill on the defensive end before the 2016 season starts at James Madison on September the 3rd. That word comes from head coach Rob Tenure.
We lost the majority of our defensive line, and of course Luke Keller at Mike linebacker, who played half a season, was probably our leading tackler. So we got some good guys inside, but we lost some really good players, and we're going to have some young players step up, and also guys that have minimal game experience step into a role where they got to play full game reps.
The MSU football team is in the midst of two-a-day practices this week at Jane Stadium. Kentucky's new offensive coordinator believes his group can be pretty good this season. According to Eddie Grand, the key will be how good they are at the little things.
You have the fine strokes, and then with the fine strokes, that's the detail. And what I saw today was the detail, you know? And we just got to do that. Now it becomes the consistency part.
The UK football team began full contact drills on Tuesday. Head coach Sean Woods and the Morehead State basketball program has picked up a late commitment for the 2016 class from 6'4" guard Malik Winston. Winston comes to the Eagles from Dundalk High School in Maryland. He says it was the MSU coaching staff that made him want to continue his career at Morehead State.
I talked to the coaching staff, and they were really committed to me. They said they were all in, and that meant a lot to me. To be committed to me for the next 4 years of my life, that's really what set them over the top.
Winston averaged 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists per game in his senior year of high school. The Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd has filled another opening on his staff. Dominic Duck, who coached at the AAU level and spent last season in Division II, will join Todd on the MSU bench. Todd says the Eagles are fortunate to get the Western Kentucky University Hall of Famer.
Very enthusiastic. Of course, with her playing ability, I think obviously an attention getter for any young players that we have. I think she'll do excellent job recruiting for us and connected well with in several areas being involved with AAU the last few years.
Earlier this week, Todd named former Northern Kentucky prep star Abby Jump to his staff. The USA men's basketball team is set to play their third game of the Olympics in just over an hour when they take on Australia at 6 o'clock in Rio. Star Kevin Durant says he's looking forward to the matchup.
We just try to take it a game at a time. We respect every team. We can't look past any opponents. And, so Australia is up next, and they feel as though they can beat us. And we feel as though that they can't, so it's going to be a clash. They're playing well right now, but we can't be concerned about Australia. We got to be worried about us and what we can do better.
Both teams are 2-0 in the Olympics so far. NBA players Matthew Dellavedova and Andrew Bogut lead the Australian team. There is a new NCAA Division I school in Kentucky. Ed Huckleberry reports.
The Norse of Northern Kentucky University will now be playing at the highest level of college athletics. NKU President Jeffrey Means in a video announcement on YouTube says this speaks highly of the entire campus.
It's a confirmation about what we've been saying about our academic program for decades, that this is a high-quality, rigorous academic program. It's an organization, a university that's committed to the community.
NKU began working to become a D1 school in 2011. I'm Ed Huckleberry.
And finally in sports, new coach Alan Evans says the Round County girls soccer team needs to pick things up in their season with their season opener less than a week away. Evans took over the program for Randy Wallace in early July and admits because of weather and field issues, the Lady Vikings are behind schedule in their preseason preparations.
I don't think we're at fitness-wise or developmental-wise with kind of our coaching philosophy. And just the terminology that I use is very different than what they're used to. And so we're having to take a lot of time to go over terminology and, what the soccer terms mean and seeing that during drills and then seeing them in modified games.
The Lady Vikings start the 2016 season next Monday with a contest at Bourbon County. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State football season tickets are now available with 6 home games on the schedule, including Campbell, Marist, Jacksonville, and the Virginia Military Institute at 6 p.m. on Saturday, September 10th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks closed lower as the recent rally in equities eased and investors digested falling oil prices as well as quarterly results from retail firms. And the Dow Industrial showed a modest loss of 37.39 at 18,495.66. The S&P 500 was down 6.25 at 2175.49, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 20.9, finishing at 5204.58. Oil futures were in focus today, and they seesawed throughout the day, with U.S. crude ending 2.5% lower at $41.71 a barrel. This after the Energy Information Administration's weekly inventories data release, and the data showed U.S. commercial crude inventories rose by 1.1 million barrels, and analysts had expected the EIA to cite a drawdown of about 1 million barrels for domestic crude, and of course, this report showing the buildup in crude contributing to crude oil's drop as the day wore on. Before the bell, Michael Kors posted quarterly results that beat expectations on both the top and bottom lines, but the stock was down 2.5%. Meanwhile, Ralph Lauren shares popped more than 9% after its earnings came in sharply above expectations. Overseas, European equities traded slightly lower with the Stock 600 index slipping 0.2%. In Asia, the Shanghai Composite fell about 0.25%, while the Nikkei 225 dropped about 0.2%. Gold futures for December delivery were up $5.20 an ounce, finishing at $1,351.90 per ounce. And among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Walmart and Disney, and your worst performers among Dow stocks were ExxonMobil and Chevron. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Ralph Lauren and Akamai Technologies, and your worst performers were KLA Tencor and Perrigo. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 46 cents at 114.54, CSX down 26 cents at 28, AEP up 18 cents at 67.57, AK Steel down 34 cents at 5.30, Marathon Petroleum down 2 cents at 41.01, and Community Trust Bank was down 18 cents to finish at 35.70. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Turning once more to a look at the weather forecast, tonight it'll be mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of isolated thunderstorms and lows around 72 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms, we'll see highs in the upper 80s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of rain and lows again in the lower 70s. On Friday, mostly cloudy, another 50% chance of rain and highs around 88. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a 40% chance of thunderstorms, lows around 72. On Saturday, at the beginning of our weekend, thunderstorms likely. We'll see a 70% chance of rain there, with highs in the mid-80s. That night, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of thunderstorms, we'll see lows in the lower 70s. And on Sunday, at the end of the weekend, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. We'll see highs in the mid-80s. It's currently sitting at 91 degrees in Ashland. It's 87 right now in Flemingsburg, 90 in Inez, 89 in Lexington, 88 in Winchester, and it's sitting at 87 degrees here on the sunny campus of Morehead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Mraz, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, and Sean Delaney. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. for Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.